So, good morning. Welcome to Royal Oak Community United Methodist Church. It is a joy to see you here. We have people watching online every week. That is a joy also. This says to me that we think we know God's gifts and blessings just by what we see in front of us. But God is giving us so many more gifts and blessings, and we're not even aware of them, but we walk in the gifts and blessings. And that is a blessing. So as a United Methodist pastor, I have to take courses called Course of Study every year, multiple courses every year. And I recently finished a course, and one of the assignments was for us to write out a paper on our theology of proclamation and then make a sermon out of it and then present it. Here you are. What a coincidence. But, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of working in this world. We are honoring our veterans. And our veterans, if I may use the same phrasing of language, have given us a theology of service. In other words, they are proclaiming in their service to our country what they believe, why they believe, and how they put those beliefs into practice. And what an interesting bookend to have a secular, service-oriented proclamation and then a sacred proclamation in this sermon. And so, I find the answer to these questions of what I believe as a follower of Jesus, why I want to share this, and how, I'm going to speak personally right now, but I am speaking to all of you. Because all of you, as followers of Jesus, can engage, can create a theology of proclamation. Now, I know I just gave you 2 out of 3 words that make your skin crawl. Theology? I don't know anything about theology. Proclamation? Oh, that sounds too highfalutin for me. I know I've been there, okay? This can be done very simply, and your own personal theology of proclamation does not always have to be in words. It can be in deeds. It can be in deeds. If we look at the life of Jesus, he preached, but he also touched, and he healed, and he served. And so, I find the engine that drives me to proclaim the word of God, this is for me, is the hymn, How Can I Keep From Singing? By Reverend Robert Lowry. This last verse in that hymn is so powerful. I can't sing it, but I am going to read it. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing? I mean, I read those words, and even though I'm not singing them, I am smiling so greatly because they are so beautiful. All things are mine because I am God's. How can I keep from singing? And I had thought about that for him as I created this paper. How can I keep from proclaiming? Because God is constantly filling me with his love and peace and grace. So my personal theology of proclamation is inspired by 3 scriptures. Now, you can have a theology of proclamation inspired by 1 scripture, but I'm going to give you 3. Number 1, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. I just love this so much. Here it is. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Every time I think of the fact that I was created by God in my mother's womb, knit together, that is such a powerful reminder of the gifts I have. And it tells me that my very identity as a child of God has got that loving image of God in it. My DNA has got that loving image of God in it. Now, you know, I'll tell you something. I have DNA in me that I just discovered may mean that I may be dealing with macular degeneration before I wanted to. But my DNA has also made me tall. Now, I can't hide the fact that I'm tall, although when I was a teenager, I wanted to hide the fact that I was tall. Believe me, I wanted it so bad. And I also cannot hide the DNA of God's love in me, which is why I want to proclaim again and again that I am loved and gifted and created in love. And you are each also. Can't keep my mouth quiet about that. My second scripture, Theology of Proclamation, is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, just verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. How awesome is that? We have a Thanksgiving tree with our things that we're thankful on it, but to tell you a secret, in a little while it will become a Christmas tree. And we're going to have symbols of Christ on it. And we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But, how can we just celebrate the birth of Jesus only during Christmas time? You know, the secular world wants to proclaim the birth of Jesus starting last week because they want to sell a lot of things. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one quarter of the profits come from this time of year. But the sacred word wants to celebrate the birth of Jesus throughout the year because the beautiful thing about the incarnation is that God embodied himself into our human form. Think about that. I once read a writer that said, for God to come into this world as a human would be as if we came into the world as a banana slug. Okay, I thought it was quite descriptive. Jesus came into this world to give all of himself for us, all of himself. How often do we talk to somebody and we are begging internally that they will give us this much attention while we're speaking to them? And yet Jesus came in and gave all of himself to us. And that is the good news that Mark's gospel proclaims and that I cannot help but proclaim. How can I keep from singing? And my third scripture for Theology of Proclamation is in John chapter 14, verses 15, 17, 8. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father that he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth is our paraclete. It's on that board up there. That's the Holy Spirit. And knowing that I have the companionship with me forever of the Holy Spirit is something that I cannot keep myself from singing. I can't keep myself from singing it because we never know when or how the Holy Spirit is in our lives, except the Holy Spirit is in our lives. I just want to describe to you something that happened 2 weeks ago. Sarah and I went into Arlington and we were going to pick up our granddaughter from school, yay, for the first time ever. And so it was kind of hectic, you know, because we took our car into Arlington, but we had to take my son-in-law's car to the school because that's where the car seat was. However, our granddaughter had been having a month-long coughing thing. Doctor says she's okay. This is what happens when you're two. And so Sarah rolled down the windows in the car. So we would Okay, we get back to the house, and the whole thing is, we gotta get the granddaughter out of the car seat and into lunch, because she's gotta take a nap. So I rolled up my window, but I did not roll up the window on Sarah's side of my son-in-law's car. And we had a beautiful visit, and then we had a horrendous thunderstorm. And then the storm ended. And we were ready to drive back to Easton, except I couldn't find my glasses. I didn't know where they were. So I started looking frantically around the house. Because every time we visit my granddaughter, I, some crazy reason, put my glasses someplace, and I never remember where I put them. Never. And so as I was looking, the rain let up just a little bit. And I remembered, oh, they must be in the car. So when the rain let up, I ran outside. I opened up the car, lifted up the thing between the seats, no glasses. No glasses on the dash, no glasses between the seats, no glasses on the floor, and then the thunder struck and it started raining really hard. And I had been sitting in the car with the door open while I was looking, so I closed the door so I could really look, and I noticed that I was hearing the sound of rain inside the car. I thought, wait, I just closed the door. The passenger side window was open, had been open. So I quickly rolled it up, went inside. I won't tell you how much I apologized to my son-in-law, but then I found my glasses. Now, if I had not misplaced my glasses, we would have gone home and my son-in-law's car would have probably been filled, because that was when we had that really bad rain. 2-3 inches of water at most. But somehow the Holy Spirit knew me and knew this, and the Holy Spirit is walking with me as my companion and yours. And the Holy Spirit made it work. That is why I cannot keep from singing about God's love and grace in my life. And so, my wife, Sarah, is a landscape painter. And, you know, I've been privileged to watch her over 38 years of marriage. And because of this gift from God, my theology of proclamation does not only include scripture and does not only include speaking, but I have watched my wife create an artistry of proclamation. You see, every time my wife creates a painting or any artist creates, yeah, right there, yeah, you down there, the hall, yeah, check it out, her. Thank you. They are proclaiming the gifts that God gave them. So, artistry of proclamation, our veterans, a service proclamation. And all of these are ways that we give back glory to God, and all of these are ways that you can give back glory to God. So my theology of proclamation includes using every gift and grace that God has given me. And I try in my life to be soulful. Oh, thank you. Quite nice. And I try in my life to be heartful. Did you get it? Okay, good. And mindful. Yes. Sometimes my mind is up in the clouds, I admit it. And also artful. Because God has put these gifts in us, and we are called to give these gifts to others. We are called to discover our own theology of proclamation. Because our theology of proclamation brings our hearts, our minds, our souls in connection with God. Because at the end of it all, this theology of proclamation is really a theology of connection with Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God in heaven, which is where they want us to be. So, for your purposes, let me give you a few examples of some scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Praise his greatness for our God. He is our rock. His works are perfect. Great scripture. Man, God is our rock. I got to tell people about that. Or Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Grace is given to us without merit. It is a gift from God. That will, as we pastors say, that'll preach. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. So I ask you, please go home, study your Bibles, Google this if you want, and find a scripture, and it can be short, that inspires you to proclaim God's love in you and share that with all the people around you. We do it in this church. Food pantry, Thanksgiving tree, Christmas, Halloween, Easter, drive-throughs, birthday party for Jesus. These are all verbal, nonverbal, physical and non-physical, serious and fun ways to lift up God in our lives. And so, Royal Oak, how can we keep from singing, God is with us and loves us, forgives us, and will never leave us? We know this in Jesus. Amen.